it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid. Red Florence!
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money, baby.
Much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Fader Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Center, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Big Rav Florence from Helensburgh, formerly North Glasgow, and with us, of course, it's the one and only Grado of the Three Toons, all Three Toons at the same time. Is that right?
Well, you're not far off it. I've never stayed in Salkets, but I've stayed in Stevenson and Russian. So you're not far off it. What's the weather like in Helensburgh, damn it?
It's a wee bit cloudy. I went to see, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, I went to view a house in Salkots.
Did you?
Almost. Before we came here.
I'm sure you did tell me this.
And we
Is it along the shore front?
Yeah, wasn't he far off the front? And we just kind of thought, I don't know, it looks a bit rough around here. I'm trying to avoid the way it was back when I was younger up in North Glasgow and Springburn, where I had to go out and fight. I mean, I had to fight. I had to run it. Basically, if you're living in one of these areas, you need to run it. And I thought, I don't want to run Salkots. Why run it? I don't want to put that time in.
Oh, see, if you were going to run it, that's fine. Because I was going to say, man, if you're pals with a Grado, man, you're a made man.
You're made.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have ran it. See, if I moved to Salkots, could me and you have ran Salkots together?
Absolutely.
What would happen if we'd have opened a pub there called Grado and Rabs? Would it have done well, Jack?
What do you think? Constant carnage, I think. I think not even just pubs. I think we could have fucking ran the whole show, mate. I think we could have opened up the nightclub that's been shut for 10 years. I think we could have bumped the ice cream van one because the ice cream van guys around here, I think they're pussies compared to the ones in Glasgow. Yeah, that's always blew my mind about the ice cream wars and all that, because none of the guys are they'll be nice men and all that. Are we kind of old guys?
Well. So that's what we'd have done. If I'd have moved to Salkots, we'd have opened a pub and we'd have opened a nightclub, and then the pandemic would have happened. They'd have had to have all shut down, we'd have been bankrupt.
Then we'd have fell out.
We'd have definitely fell out. I'd have been like, I didn't want to open this fucking nightclub. That was your idea.
Your fucking idea.
I only wanted the pub and you're wanting fucking nightclubs and ice cream vans, you fucking idiot. It'd been terrible. That'd have been terrible. Right, but anyway, let's see what the punters have been saying. Have you been up to anything? Have you been doing anything?
Just watched a couple of programmes on the telly.
We watched It's a Sin, didn't we?
That was tremendous. Shout out if you want to watch that, Trips on E4 or All Four, or All Four Demand, whatever it's called.
Russell T Davies drama about the AIDS crisis in London in the early 80s, but it's also very much about friendship as well.
Is he the guy that wrote Doctor Who?
He is indeed the guy who wrote the best episodes of Doctor Who.
Wow. See, hold on, right, because this is funny, right, because let me tell you something, right? I'm laughing about this, right? But see how, because what I'm jealous of you about, Robert, is you're good with words, right, and you're good at describing stuff, and I get jealous of it. Like, see the way you just went and said, it's something about friendship, right? Well, I'm in a group chat with the folk at the radio, right, and one of the newsreaders, he's dead. He talks to me about telly all the time, right, because I've been on the telly. And he thinks I know mail and what I do, right? I can't let on, like, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. So he was like, how was that programme and the AIDS? And I was pure going, well, you know what, I tell you what, it's gritty.
You said it's gritty?
Aye, and then I'm going, is it fucking gritty? And I'm going, what's gritty again? And I'm Googling what's gritty films, and it was going, like, fucking gritty films or stuff like pure, or these fighting films and guns and all that.
Credo.
Sorry, I was just listening to my WhatsApp voice note. I said it was edgy as well. Was it edgy? I said it was edgy and gritty.
I don't know if I would say it was edgy either.
Right, okay.
Credo, if I'm being honest.
See, I need to stop doing that. I need to just come clean this guy. Listen, mate, I've fucking been on the telly. Like, I don't know the ins and outs, mate.
But hold on, though. I'm saying these things because we're on a podcast here. Like, because I've been messaging people about it. So I messaged Greg Kemphill about it, for example, right? And I says to Greg, what did I say about it? I said, it's a sin as an absolute belter. I'm such a mark for RTD. I said... So that's the stuff I'm saying in chats. It's not like I'm saying in chats to people on WhatsApp. It's not like I'm going, it is a uncompromising view. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose, right, okay. So I probably,
I think it's
that's actually quite normal, but I'd still come to you. John, you're getting very bored of this conversation, are you?
No, I'm enthralled with it. I'm enthralled with
this
it.
This is why people tune into the show. Let's see what the punters are saying. Okay. Now, after last week, we were talking about wrestling crossing over into football. Gary pointed out West Ham walked out to Triple H's The Game in their FA Cup tie.
Now, see now, this feels like every week a football team has used this. Are they just trying to go on Wrestling Daft every week?
I think it is that. They're trying to get internet points by trying to pop the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't send in any more of this.
Attention seeking.
What would Celtic walk out to at the moment, you guys? What do you think they would walk out to?
Oh, wrestling song.
What wrestling theme would Celtic walk out to?
The Bushwhackers theme.
Bushwhackers theme.
The Bushwhackers theme.
What the heck of one?
There's Neil Lennon, Scott Brown come doing the Bushwhackers.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
That's it. Like Nick Charles Heads, not it.
Shane Duffy.
Neil Lennon licking Bruni's heat.
Shane Duffy come ready to Doity Clown.
Neil Lennon would come out to Dead Man Walking. Right. Spray Paint Scott, go in touch. He's no sure if it's a question for Wrestling Daft or for Basketball Daft, but what's Rab's take on Shaquille O'Neal wrestling in AEW? Shaq's always been floating about the wrestling. And in fact, I would say that basketball has always been quite adjacent with wrestling because obviously Dennis Rodman was involved in WCW back in the day, involved with Nitro. And Dennis Rodman was involved with Nitro while he was on some amazing runs with the Chicago Bulls. It's not like he was no playing at the time. So I like it. More basketball players, and they're tall as well. You couldn't have, for example, any football players coming onto the wrestling and looking good because they're all wee short asses. Right, they're all like football players are all wee. Mm. I mean, wee assholes.
Who you been getting on Basketball Daft this week?
Basketball Daft Dennis. This week, we were talking to Kyrie Irving about the earth being flat. We're talking about that. And next week, we are going to get on the guy who made the Shaq Fu computer game. Do you remember that? Remember the computer game Shaq Fu back in the day? No? Maybe before your time, Grado. Our top correspondent, Karate Warrior 2 says, how about this topic for the next episode? New return gimmicks for Grado.
Oh, is this what people have been doing?
Yeah, it's time to talk about some new gimmicks for Grado when Grado comes back. When wrestling comes back. Wrestling is back, by the way. ICW are running shows now, so I don't know what fucking Grado's doing. You know what I mean? Because let's no day this thing. When wrestling comes back, maybe Grado day. Wrestling is back. Fucking ICW are running shows. Anyway.
Well, look, I was about to go on this podcast and tell you that that's me. No, that's it. I'm back. Like, as in, I've got any more clays. I don't have any more clays left. What does that mean? Basically, it means, obviously, this time last year, I was in the paper for being skinny. It's now a year on, and I would just stick to wearing my fat kind of clays that I would wear that look baggy on me. I've now went through every garment. I need to buy actual new clothes because nothing fucking fits me. Nothing fits me. That's bad. I don't even fit into my boxer shorts. How the fuck can you not fit into boxer shorts?
Why are you wearing boxer shorts when you're in the house anyway?
What do you mean?
Why are you even bothering wearing pants when you're on lockdown? Oh, you need to go out to the radio, didn't you? You need to go to work?
Aye.
Right enough. What was the thing that Homer wore in The Simpsons? Remember, was it a muumuu? It's called. It's like a big tent type thing. I would just wear one of them all the time, like happily.
Well, I mean, I did,
comfy, right, being comfy.
Well, when I say I've ran out, like I've got one more pair of clothes, and I basically come home, wash it in the washing machine, and wear it again the next day. Because there's nothing fucking else, man. Fucking... Sorry, did you just miss
it? There's that thing in it. It's like you don't want to buy clothes because you're thinking,
"Aye, I'm going to waste
it. Waste the fucking money.
Aye,
waste the money because I'm only going to need them for like a week."
Look, and can you believe that the only t-shirt that fits me says Grado on it?
Because it's reversed on the Zoom hang, I thought it was your well and O-Dark hang.
Well, it's a kind of fancy reverse hang. I don't know, it's weird, but it says Grado somewhere or another. Anyway, what about these gimmicks, man?
Right, aye, so let's have a look at these gimmicks. Pablo says you should come back as a germaphobe hypochondriac.
Well, I'm not a hypochondriac, but I'm not a germaphobe.
I don't think you can get a gimmick out of being... Hey, do you remember John Moxley tried the germaphobe thing for like 2 weeks? He did? In WWE?
Yeah.
In WWE, he's coming out with a gas mask on, and it wasn't wanting to touch anything or breathe in the air. And this was before the pandemic. This was some good thing. Daniel says the bin raider.
The bin raider.
No, this was suggested on the Marks, apparently. So see, on the Marks podcast, are you all saying Grado's a bin raider?
Are you all just big Grado's not, a big fat fuck right, that raid bins and all that? He's a big jerky.
No, I'll face up. There was a booking. We do a thing called Fantasy Booking England, which obviously you are both aware of because I know you listen every week.
We love it. You're good at it, mate.
The booking was we've got to book Grado to the 24/7 title, and I suggested that Grado was protesting outside the Stamford to try to get a contract, and that someone had thrown the 24/7 title in the bin, and that Grado had got it from the bin. So
it's not a bad idea, that is it?
Folk pay for this push.
KP Jer suggested you should come back as the 10 in a row slayer.
Now you're talking, boy.
And Coach Tripp could be your manager, can he?
Oh, yes. He's more or less doing that. That's Coach Tripp's gimmick, then, I think, in ICW.
Does. Which is actually going to be it's that gimmick's just going to get stronger after the, you know, we Rangers back on their eyes. Sorry, let me say this properly. We're Rangers back on their eyes.
It's a disaster. Can you believe, I'll probably talk about this in football, Daph, but can you believe I tried to goad Tommy Sheridan on WhatsApp? No, goad him, right? But he sends me, up to about 6 months ago, he sent me WhatsApps every day about independence and this councillor and this MP had said this and this form's going to be put in the European Parliament. And I'm like, why does he send me this? Anyway, it stopped. And so at the weekend there, I had seen he'd released another video giving it, the Rangers don't pay their taxes. And all that's getting on right. I'm like, I'm going. So I'm like, Saturday night, Rangers have won 5-0, and I'm going, Tommy boy, how you doing, my man? It's a Grado here, former World Heavyweight Champion, star of Test Drive, 8 episodes of River City, my man. How's life? How you doing? I'm having a good time, I'll tell you what. I'm feeling absolutely brilliant, right? You know, that's going to hang on. And I think I mentioned Luke Rangers at the tail end, right? And I'm thinking he's going to go, hey, you're right. But he replied to me going, hi, Grado. All good here on the Western Front. I'm with my family. Stay in a nice house, me and my family. And he went on to tell me this really nice story about how and his family are coping well. And I felt fucking terrible. Know that way that I was...
You just sent it as the bam up?
I went to bam him up, but he kind of... Do you know what I mean? He's kind of...
He killed you with kindness.
Killed me with kindness. And I want to know... I wonder if he meant... Do you know? Is that reverse psychology or whatever it means? Because in the end, I replied to that. That's good, mate. Love it. All the best, pal.
He's a politician, isn't he?
He's good at that. He made me feel like shit.
Paul says you should come back as a TV presenter managed by Michael Barrymore.
That is a cracking idea. That is a cracking idea. Did you see Michael Barrymore wasn't made a wee cameo in that thing with? Do you know what? I'd love to. Do you know? No, even I've asked the BBC if I can do a thing with Michael Barrymore, and I don't think they're too keen on it. It was to like follow him with my boot and all that, because I think what he does every day. I think he works in a Gearden nursery and he drives a Fiesta and just kind of does that. I'd like to go down and go pick his brains and that. But I don't think they were only really interested in it.
I would watch that. A kind of Grado meets...
Like Louis Theroux, but the Scottish version of Louis Theroux.
Aye. That's exactly the kind of route I was going on.
And Blair says you should come back as a paranoid COVID denier slagging after NHS at every turn. Nasty piece of work. And your new catchphrase is, you could die going to get messages, for fuck's sake.
You know what? There's one that you missed out, and I really actually, I'm looking at it and I like it because I'd love to do it. You might read it out and I'll tell you because I've loved something an idea like this.
Is it instead of coming out to like a prayer?
Uh huh.
He is the prayer Pastor Grado, a heel Catholic who wants to cleanse British wrestling of its sins, but then only targets Simon Miller because he looks like Johnny Sins. Is it that?
I love that idea.
What, like a priest guy?
I'd love to be a priest. I think that'd be great as a bad guy. Not that I'm saying, you know, priests are bad guys. You know, off my foot. Catholic. My mother was a Catholic. I don't want to get down this route with Catholics and I forget this.
Let's reverse. Let's get a reverse out of here and go straight to the punter. And the big question we asked this last week regarding our semi-regular features every fucking week. Don't want to say semi-regular. The punning, should it stay or should it go? Daniel says Bennett. Well said, Daniel. Big Benny says...
Daniel, innit?
Big Benny says, I've no spent money to sign up to the Patreon for you to take away one of the weekly joys in my life. A change to monthly might get a necessary refresh, but please don't get rid of the puns completely. They mean too much to me. Okay, Benny, heard that. Andy says, the good ones never get read out. Obviously, we've not been reading Andy's ones out. He says, I know it's subjective, but there's ones that listeners are liking and retweeting for each other, and they never get any. Oh, wah, 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 Andy. Stephen says, hey, guys, Rab, getting rid of the pun end would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster.
Saying that, he thinks he understands that it was sometimes it would be good to change up things up a bit, like dressing Randy Orton up as one of the Johnsons for TNA's first show.
That's so funny. So yes.
With the pun end being buried, we need a new feature. I suggest the Piss Off Rab segment, he says. People message or when on the running, they just have to piss off Rab. This could result in them shutting them down and calling them fannies or send them off in a rant. He says, I know we are in difficult times, should be spreading positivity and happiness, but fuck that, let's piss off Rab. Let me know what you think. Thanks, Stephen. P.S. No mercy on the N64 is fucking shite. Fucking arseholes, he's pissed me off anew. Also, Rab is a walking pun, fucking Florence Nightingale, he says. Fucking rat. He had us in the first half, I'm like... Right, me, DC says, I imagine making it like
are we doing this? Sounds quite good.
Imagine making it like a pay-per-view at the end of the month might be a better option. Give people a few weeks to prepare for the big show and then instead of the pun and call it the pun-per-view.
Oh, that's good.
Dale says the puns must stay. Scott says once a month, leave the fans wanting more. So what are we going to do then?
Quite like the pun-per-view. Quite like that. And I think, I don't know if you should go out your road. I think this should be like not an official thing, but usually somebody pisses you off anyway with like a booking suggestion or somebody that's, I can tell when I read things, oh, he's got to call them fannies. So I don't know. What do you think?
I'm happy for people to do that, but I like finding them organically. I just get pissed off by people on this show anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's an organic thing for me. I would feel I was having to force it, and I have to. The hate has to feel real. But in terms of the puns, what do we say? Once a month, then.
Once a month, right?
We'll beautiful. Once a month.
Do it around the pay-per-views. We'll start doing it around the pay-per-views.
There's Royal Rumble next week.
It's this weekend. But we'll start next week. We'll start the first week of the month. We'll do the punning, and that'll be our punning pay-per-view, or what we call
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. So what are we going to have the puns about then next week?
Grado, what do you want?
See, this is why it's hard, because I don't fucking know.
Films? No.
Let's
I've done that in a minute, no.
Why don't we say religion?
Religion.
That's
let's
good.
Do religion, because we're talking about priests. I always like to connect it with something we're talking about, so let's make it religion. Religion based puns. All right.
Aye. Open a can of worms, bye.
If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week, we like to separate the good for the bad, the people that call avocados avocados, for the people that call avocados avos. What you want to bury and put over this week, Grado?
Right, so what did I do this week wrestling-wise in terms of...
You watched AEW.
I watched AEW last week, and it wasn't good, to be honest with you. it was just. Did you see it? Did you watch it?
Yes.
Right. What do you think? I felt there was just.
I didn't think it was a strong show. I'll be honest, but I think AEW has been. I think AEW are allowed a weaker show because they've been pretty strong lately.
I mean,
so I think it's important to remember that these companies are having to do a show every week. So it's like you've got to have a dud week here and there, you know what I mean?
So the show started off with a wee birthday thing for Brody Lee Jr., which was brilliant to do that for a wee guy, although I'm slightly worried about him being involved in wrestling in terms of like how fans react to it. I don't want fans being nasty to them. Not that I'm saying they will be, but you get concerned. It's a wee bit, no saying it's uncomfortable, but you're like, I hope he's going to be all right.
Well, let's be honest, it's often quite a poisonous fan base.
That's what I'm saying sometimes. Wrestling. So I just get kind of worried. But it was the segment I thought was very funny. See, when they done that thing with Adam Page to join the Dark Order, and he said no, but at the same time it flashed up on the screens. He said yes.
Yeah,
I thought that was really funny because their comedy stuff I think is funnier than WWE.
Oh,
100%.
By a mile.
100%.
By a mile, their comedy stuff is funnier than WWE's. WWE's comedy stuff feels like it's been written by like somebody who has never written any comedy and somebody who's old and behind the times. Whereas AEW's stuff, comedy feels like it's juvenile, the WWE's comedy.
It's like
comedy.
The Boys, Pater. It's like The Boys. I can imagine The Boys coming up with quite a lot of this stuff. Like, because then I was watching Raw, and I mean, I said to you I'd watch Raw to try and talk about it, but it was an awful struggle, man. It's really like,
yeah,
they are truth with fucking the 24 carats and all this, and I'm going, oh my fucking, I mean. But anyway, what else?
I want to bury, can I just quickly bury just the Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton carry on and all that? I mean, I'm going to say it again, right? What are we supposed to be, what is this building up towards? Like Dusty Rhodes would always say about wrestling, about any day in wrestling, right? You're wanting to be selling tickets. Where is the money in this encounter? What is the draw here in this encounter? What are they wanting fans to be excited for? Are we wanting fans to be excited for Alexa Bliss wrestling Randy Orton? I don't think so. Are we wanting fans to be excited for The Fiend returning and wrestling Randy Orton again? I don't think so. What is actually getting sold here? What is being promoted? What is this wrestling promotion promoting by doing this storyline with Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss? Have you any idea, John?
I don't know what they're doing with it. I mean, I don't mind, like, I think the Alexa Bliss stuff, I don't mind it as much as you do, Rab. I think the character stuff, she's brilliant, by the way, like, in terms of her performance and all that sort of stuff, she's great. I don't know what the end game is with it. I mean, like you said, we talked about it before, it was like, they should have been doing something like this when the Harley Quinn and Joker thing was big, you know, and it's just like, oh, they went, oh, that's quite a good idea.
Which was years ago now,
years and years ago, you're right. So I don't know what the end game is. I mean, is it, there's not going, because Alexa Bliss isn't going to be wrestling Randy Orton. The Fiend's, presumably it's going to build to the Rumble and then there'll be a Fiend Randy Orton cinematic match at WrestleMania. That's the only way I can see them going with it.
I'm just looking at it now. Has he got kind of red makeup on his face?
Who cares about that? You know what I mean? Like, who cares about seeing The Fiend and Randy Orton again? I don't think. Because they've already done this match. They've done this match numerous times. And it might have been interesting if what they'd done with Alexa Bliss in this character is had her more involved in the women's scene, had her, you know, had her going after somebody who you're excited to see her wrestle, or even a returning wrestler, or even like Charlotte Flair, or even like somebody, you know what I mean, where we could get a fresh angle on it. But having her still mixed up with a guy who has already had numerous encounters with The Fiend, and again, I'll say this again, the problem here is Bray Wyatt's matches haven't been good enough. It's hard to build up anticipation for a Bray Wyatt match because his matches have been, on the whole, underwhelming, I think. You know what I mean?
So is he meant to be deep now?
Or who knows?
Aye.
Who knows? Or is he meant? Or maybe he's meant to be inside Alexa Bliss, like he's possessed her. I mean, who fucking cares, man? Who cares?
Aye. We
see what the punters have been saying.
Aye. Let's say, as I said, that I couldn't. This Raw was a struggle. AEW's all right. Six Man was a clusterfuck, but it was entertaining. Do you know what I mean?
Can I get your opinion? I thought Jack, well, Hager as he is now, I thought that was one of the best matches I've ever seen him wrestle. I thought
the six man.
Aye,
Mate, did you not see the match with the big guy the week before?
Yeah, with Wardlow. I thought he was brilliant.
I think he's underrated.
I think he's underrated.
Even when he was in the WWE, there was a lot of people were kind of like, oh, I don't know about this guy. You know, but I think he's just there's a guy with a legitimate look. It looks as if he can fling people about. And you know,
I think
I mean?
He had a bit of a stink to his kind of name when he was in AEW, just for his WWE, the ECW champion and stuff like that. But he's totally come into his own. He's a totally different guy. Doesn't he look as he looks? You know that I think he looked that uncomfortable when WWE the too big. Where I think he's dropped a lot of weight and he's a lot more agile. And he looks like he's still a hard man. But
did you come across him in the Indies?
He was in five star every week.
You could send that guy, but this is the thing: you could send that guy doing into a WWE ring the new and stunning opposite. Like I would say 70% of WWE's roster, he would look as if he could wreck them. You know what I mean? I think he's still got a good star quality about him, you know what I mean, as well. Anyway, Jamie wants to put over the puns on this show, and he wants to bury me and you, Grado, for suggesting cool. Puns need to go. Willie wants to put over SmackDown again. Closing segment with KO and Roman Reigns was just brilliant. Yeah, Kevin Owens is just consistently good, isn't he? And Roman Reigns is having the best run of his career. He wants to bury WWE for their plan to reveal the number 30 entrant in the Men's Rumble on Saturday. I don't want to know anybody's entry number.
Well, this is what I didn't get on Raw, right? Now, I've not been keeping up with Raw at all, so I had to check and see if Edge was still wrestling, and he hadn't been. I thought that was bizarre that they just said, oh, Edge is coming out in half an hour. Like, no advertised, or just Edge is going to be here. And I thought, if he's been away for that length of time, why was that no built, or why did they not leave it to the Rumble? Like, it was just for that is what happened, wasn't it?
It was.
He just come back. Mm-hmm. How you doing?
But I think everybody was expecting him to be back. Though this is the thing. I think everybody had been talking about he'll be back at the Rumble. You know, and there's no point them trying to do another surprise when I'm coming back at the Rumble. You know what I mean? Because there's not going to be anybody there, which is going to be interesting because we've got a Royal Rumble for the first time with no audience. It's going to be a very different vibe in it. Evil Ninja Phil wants to. He says it pains him to do this, but he needs to bury Jericho's lion salt in last week's Dynamite. Had to climb on the middle rope and then nearly landed on his head. Might be time to retire that move, but watch him do a perfect one this week and show me up as the armchair mark the arm. Did you see Jericho in that match, Grado?
I did, but if you actually look, I'm just going to look back. I think he kind of stutters because of the position of the guy in the middle, so I wouldn't completely. Everybody's totally burying him. I mean, Jim Cornette, have you seen what Jim Cornette tweeted him? Fucking.
Chris Toll, we were speaking to Chris Toll of ICW fame, and he was saying that, and Rab, you'll know this, that he did something very similar back in the day where he botched the lion salt, and it was Mr. Perfect actually stopped him breaking his neck because the way he was able to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Aye. Have you seen that footage?
Aye. Now, the lion salt is one of the moves that it doesn't matter how fit you are. It doesn't matter how slim you are, how light you are, how fit you are, how young you are, you can fuck it up. It's one of the moves. You know what I mean? All you need to do is jump onto that rope and lose your foot in a wee bit or something and you will fuck it up. You need to have, so I think people need to be steady on with the whole, like, you're too old to be doing it or you're too big to be doing it or anything like that, because anybody could on any fucking given Saturday could fuck that move up. You know what I mean? Too soon to say that.
It's,
What did Jim Cornette say?
Hold on, I'll just read it just now. Right, because...
obviously, one of the things I want to bury as well is, again, people slagging off Jericho's look and his condition.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why he's getting it tight, isn't it? Because people are going, oh, he's got a belly. He shouldn't have been... He's getting too old. He shouldn't have been doing lion salts.
People have forgotten what fucking wrestlers should look like. You've got wrestling now with all these guys that they CrossFit, all these wee tiny, wee skinny guys jumping about, and people are forgotten. When I was a wee guy and I was watching World of Sport, right, the guys looked, 9 times out of 10, looked more like fucking Chris Jericho looks now than they looked like fucking Orange Cassidy, or they looked like even a Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't have to be this slim, perfect specimen to be a professional wrestler. I don't want to watch them. Most of the time, they'll know the guys I want to watch. I want to watch the big guy. I mean, Chris Jericho looks more new, like he could battle fuck out of me, than he did when he was in WCW, for example. I would be more wary of stepping up to him new. You know what I mean? And I think that's what he's gone for. He's gone for this kind of middle-aged rock star vibe. That's
midlife crisis, kind of fucking out with the young boys. And
that's it. That's the gimmick. Hanging out with the young guys.
I'm going to go. This wee guy's over on the internet. I'm going to tag with him.
Exactly. That's the gimmick. So people are being, and that's why Jericho's response to people going, fucking look at him, look at how out of shape he is and all that. Jericho's response to that is they put out fucking selfies.
Just
to put out selfies with his clothes off. You know what I mean? Because he's working. He's working Jim Cornette.
Look at that. Listen, that's right. So Jericho tweets, I've been told that Jim Cornette and his sidekick Brian Last continue to brutally bury me for everything I do and say, and they day bury him, by the way. My response to that is this: have at it. You're entitled to your opinions. I'm honoured to provide content that helps you pay your bills. Best of luck to both of you. Cornette replies, thanks, Chris. If you put the vodka down it, get on a low carb diet and give it and get and had enough pride to quit doing cheerleading routines with outlaw wrestlers and stop giving your money to a lunatic psychopath leading to an insurrection against the US, I don't know what I'd talk about. Hashtag stupid idiot. Obviously referring to Jericho Gein.
Basically, Chris Jericho did to Jim Cornette there what Tommy Sheridan did to you. he's working people. Kieran wants to put over Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman's promo directed to Adam Pearce. Promo works great. And wants to bury Raw's or the match between this babyface and heel ended in a DQ because of interference, and two male doing its new tag team or a six women tag. I hate that.
And was that Kieran as well? The count out and then Adam Pearce coming out and let's restart it.
That was botched.
Fuck me, man. I don't watch Raw enough, but anytime I've tuned in, something like that's happened. Does this happen every week?
No, I think
it feels like stuff like this happens all the time. Is it, what's the crack? And the referee's been told, date is a shoot, you know, you fucking blah, blah, blah. Because any show I've worked on, the referee would be like, nine. get up. 10. No, I mean, he's fucking 1, 2, 3. Is that one of these things that Vince has said, you know, don't say belt, you know, and shoot the count, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just fucking...
I love a slow count, man.
One. It's like
brilliant.
You do a family show and you know you're going to go for a walk. You're like, ah, mate, ref, fucking one. Fucking karaoke at the side of the ring and all that during the 10 count.
John wants to bury Alexa Bliss and the Fiend and Randy Orton. It's no for me. It is. Good on you, John. Paul wants to put over the WWE India Superstar Spectacle for Tuesday. I haven't seen that. It was yesterday.
Aye.
Established talent putting on some good matches with new faces. The return of Jinder Mahal. Giant Zangier, who is over 7 foot tall and trained by the great Khali. And an hour and a half of good matches. No shitty storylines. Fun, easy watch. I want to check that out.
Wait till you see the size of the boys that they've got in India, this tag team. Holy shit, there's a picture where the two of them with Triple H and he is dwarfed by these two massive boys.
I need to see this.
I can't believe my big mate, fucking, what'd you call him? My old tag team partner in TNA, Sheila. He wasn't booked on it. Steve, I'm talking about Sheila.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you remember Sheila? He was Indian guy.
Alan Shearer.
I tagged.
Is that racist? Delete that as well.
Sheena, the guy for TNA, I tagged him in 2016, and I generally thought they were going to put the titles on us at one point. Anyway, how fucking stupid was that? See, when I first met him on the TNA bus, and I was sitting up front, and it was him, and he was dead shy and all that, and I was like, we're talking away, and he was like, I'm big in India. And I was like, you're big in India? And he went, 200%. He says, I'm massive in India. Massive. And I was like, what, like, kind of, and I kind of had this perception, he really, because, you know, there's India's massive Bollywood movie, like, he will be the top dog. And I went on his Twitter, man, he had 600 followers. And I was like, you can't be that fucking big. You know what I mean? Anyway, he was a lovely guy, big thing with, what's his name? Sheena. Fucking hell.
So, Gosha wants to put over me and you and John day in the traffic on last week's podcast. Nearly crashed a van laughing at that. He wants to bury himself. He's burying himself because he woke up excited to watch the Royal Rumble on Monday morning back there. Then he realised he was a week early. You're watching a Monday morning. You need to stay up for the Royal Rumble. I'll be staying up for the Royal Rumble.
I'll probably watch the Rumble.
You need to watch it live.
Because I think somebody else might be doing the traffic on Monday, so...
Jason wants to bury WWE turning Ric Flair into a creepy old man. Right, hold on a fucking minute. He wants to bury WWE. To be fair, he does say, or maybe he's always been a creepy old man. Aye. He has. Bury WWE turning Ric Flair into a creepy old man. It's Ric Flair.
Definitely if, like, fucking Ricky Steamboat was doing this.
Let me tell you what was a disgrace. Right? The WWE booking Ric Flair as a fucking kindly old dad who was greeting all the time. That was the fucking disgrace. No one being a creepy old man, no one being Ric Flair. Now they're booking him as Ric Flair again instead of booking him as some fucking old granda that's wobbling about fucking greeting because his daughter's winning some kid-on fucking fights. This is Ric Flair. This is Ric Flair.
And I don't even think he's trying to get his... Is he not just getting their advice?
Jason wants to put up... No, he's...
Right, try it all.
Yeah. Jason's wanting to put over Randy Orton's big tomato face. And dropping an RKO on Alexa Bliss, if that's where they're going with the Alexa Fiend storyline, then I'm a happy guy. Or the RKOs to all the birds, says Jason. So after Jason being offended by Ric Flair being a creepy old man, he knew he wants to see a guy going about attacking or a woman. So Jason's got some fucking issues. Let's move on. It's the part of the show we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and ask Grado who the biggest dick in wrestling is, or ask me about my thoughts on the current booking of The Fiend. Let's welcome to this week's run-in. It's a second appearance for one, Mr. Scott. Scotty Too Hotty Kirkwood. Scotty Too Hotty Kirkwood, how you doing, brother?
What's happening?
How's it going, Scott?
No bad, mate. How are you?
I'm good, mate.
Good.
Very, 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 very good. What are you saying to it, mate?
Have you ever seen a ghost, Scott?
A ghost? Nah. Nah.
Have you ever heard a ghost?
I'm convinced of. See all these stupid wee noises that you hear in your house when you're lying in your bed at night? That's no pipes.
So you think that's something?
It's something. It's got to be.
If you're a betting man, right, if you're putting a bet on Paddy Power on the existence of ghosts, are ghosts real or no, what would you bet?
I mean, whatever I've got. They've got to be real.
I don't think they are, Rab, because I just think out of all these video cameras that we see every day, surely there would be evidence now of a ghost in some cunt's fucking house. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if you can see them. Can you get the poltergeist ones that just like chuck right. stuff about? Ones that you can't see. Not like Casper or that.
But even that, I've still not seen like a good compilation of Vazzy's falling over and stuff like that. I've never ever seen that.
Do you think poltergeists though are ghosts, or do you think they're just a kind of manifestation of some kind of telekinetic ability within the mind of the person in the room?
I don't get that.
Aye, no, that's very X-Men.
Right, well, Rab, what do you think about mediums and stuff like that? Because sometimes I've got two views on
it. Very large. I feel like the mediums are just a bit too tight across the shoulders for me.
Right, tell you one, right? So I didn't fucking hear that. Right. My experience with mediums, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is I used to go to Spooky Club every Monday night at the Hawks Community Centre in Stevenson, right? And it was full of mediums. And they all kind of say no.
Spooky Club?
It was called the Spooky Club. Right. Me and my mate Patty used to go. And they used to give healing massages and all that. They would heal you and they all asked to your shoulders and all this, right? And, well, basically, one week this guy come on and he basically could tell me loads of stuff. Like, he was like, you were nearly about to join the Navy, weren't you? And I was like, well, I was 4 pound overweight. And then a month later, I got another job, so I never went. And he was like, your gran's Philomena, right? And I was laughing. No, Wilhelmina. Philomena or Wilhelmina, I can't fucking remember, right? And I'm going, oh, I don't know, I have no idea who that is. I got a couple other things, and see when I went home, my mom says, well, that was your somebody others. Basically, one of your grands was called Philomena or Wilhelmina. So I was like, kind of blown away, right? But then last year, no last year, but the year before, I started going with my girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. And they have this medium come to the house every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And they were like, she's brilliant, she's great, and all this. And it was a matter of, like, she sat in the living room, and one by one, every member of the family had to go in and get a reading. And, like, fucking every member of the family come out going, oh, brilliant, she told me everything. But when I went in, man, she told me fucking nothing. Like really, really just kind of, like, there's a call in here. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, what about a Frida? Nah, honestly, I don't know. And Ken just really... And I had to come out and pure go, oh, she was brilliant, man. She was great. She got fucking loads of hands.
Why did you
because
that,
her family was there. I was like, she's great.
Do you think they were all doing the same thing? They were all just coming out and being like...
Aye, because they'd pay for it coming to the house.
That's part of it. Like, that's what they talk about as well. Like, mediums and psychic people and hypnotists and stuff like that. It's like, once people come up on a stage or whatever, they don't want to be the person that kind of ruins it for everybody else. So they go along with it. It's a big part of how they do their trick. You know what I mean?
The hypnotists are weird. That blows my mind that folk can do
that. That blows my mind. See, by the way, just one more thing on that. See that same woman? One time the curtains come up at the pantomime, and out of 1,400 faces, I walked out and I could see her. Halfway up, waving at me.
I mean, halfway up, was she floating?
Fucking, that's what I'm saying. It totally freaked me out. It totally put me out. Like, I was singing, always look on the bright. I just don't. Holy fuck, man, is that psychic?
There's a secret, right? So you go to these mind reader shows and all that, right? When you buy your tickets, you pay using your credit card or your bank card, right? That person gets your details and then just goes and researches. I mean, it's easy in this day and age. You can go on and find anything about anyone.
Yep.
You go up on stage, you're like, oh, you're in IT. Oh, fuck, how did you know that? You know, because they've got it off your credit card. I'm telling you, that's how it works.
It's not just that. That isn't it. The only way they do it. The other thing they do is when you go to the show, right? See, before it, you go and have drinks in the wee bar, right, before the doors open. And they have people out that work for them in the bar at the same time who's overhearing chat.
I hope I get Ur Willie coming on.
Aye, exactly. They walk about and going, oh, who are you wanting to hear for and stuff like that? I'm hoping to hear for, like, Jack, my grandad that was thing me and all that. And they just fucking report all that back to...
I just go in and go, we've got Jack, my grandad, all that kind of stuff.
But also there's a thing they do called cold reading, which is just a technique that you can learn where you can kind of mine information out of people.
Aye.
Just poking at certain bits.
What's this? Scott, you look as if you know about this as
no,
well.
No, I've seen... Oh, is that not what, like... it's not Darren Brown. There was a YouTube video I watched about that, and it's like, you say something like general as anything, like, or as... Like, it was an audience, you would go, oh, is there... So I'm getting a John, and you would wait for then somebody to react.
Aye.
And it's like, it's so general, but it sounds amazing.
And then they start... Because that's the whole thing about communication and about... Just about people socializing with other people. People give out information without even knowing that they're doing it. So they just slowly feed out information.
It always blew my mind at the Spooky Club when the medium would come out and go, somebody here has just got a new medicine. And then, like, this woman called Mary would go, that's me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've got new pills for my feet. And then, you know what I mean? Why is that got to be Mary? Do you know what I mean? And then that would start, and then it would go on for like fucking half an hour.
Yep.
And another thing as well, but it was quite a lot of Jakey folk from my town that went to the Spooky Club. And I remember one night it got really intense, right? But it was a guy and a woman came, and the medium could tell them what was in their Wayne's coffin. I know that sounds grim, but they were like, there was a rose in it, there was fucking this and that. And they didn't look like they were Faith Stevenson. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, they've been fucking booked, man. They've been booked to the Spooky Club. Oh. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just weird that they were the only ones that looked as if they never needed a wash.
Can I just rewind here? There was a place in Stevenson called the Spooky Club.
It was in the community centre. It was every Monday, the Spooky Club. We actually
got chucked out
of it. I got chucked out of it.
Why were you not spooky enough?
Well, it wasn't, in fact. Well, there was the Spooky Club in Stevenson, and then there was a Spooky Club in Irvine, right? And we had went to the Stevenson one for weeks and weeks and weeks. Eventually, well, there's Irvine on a Thursday night, so we went to Irvine. But when we went to Irvine, we kind of kiddied on that we knew what we're doing with the healing. Kind of like, going...
Kind of the crystals and that.
Aye, right. We were like, fuck it, man, we'll just carry on, we can do it. And this woman called Cat. Cat wasn't her, Cat wasn't her name, but her cats were deed, her kind of trousers, so we just called her Cat. Fucking she came out, oh, the lights were off, right? Me and my mate were having a right old fucking laugh, getting that pure wee holding your laughing, and we're coming up to her, these old women and that, and touching her hair and going, and she was coming up, she went, excuse me, it is, I know you're from Stevenson, have you got insurance to do this? And I was like, no, we just ain't the flying, Stevenson. we don't use insurance. And then it caused this big hang about insurance and the Stevenson Spooky Club and having the Spooky Club. We just get told not to come back.
Sidekicks will Ken if anything goes wrong.
I know. Grado, we should pitch that to BBC Scotland. We should do the Spooky Club.
That's good, isn't it?
We'll just like invite lot of sorts of spooky people.
Well, there's plenty of that. That's what I couldn't go to as well. There's loads of mediums, like mediums that are bus drivers, just, you know, postmen. They've all got their third eye.
They've all got a gift. Yeah. They've all got the gift. I imagine a medium might say to you, have you somebody we are starting with an A, something to do with a monster. This person has started, their name starts with A, they would like to do something again with you, they would like to try it a different way. Some kind of ball. I'm seeing a ball. Something to do with a monster. Somebody, do you know somebody whose name starts with an A? He would just love to try it again. He would love to go and try and do that all over again with you differently.
He's bound. He's seen bound me. Bound. 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 He's bound. There's a bit of bound there. Bound for glory. Bound for glory.
Right, Scott, what questions have you got for us?
To be fair, I didn't think of questions. I was just coming on for a wee chat.
Ah, yes. Well, something exciting.
To be fair, we can go back to basketball, Daft. I like the basketball. Notice that you've got a Nets hat on.
Have you been listening to basketball, Daft, Scott?
Oh, aye. But I'm a subscriber. Patreon.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. We'll get Kyrie Irving on it next week, by the way.
Aye. To be fair, I'll be the ginger James Harden and anything. I grow in this. Actually, to be fair, I've missed Grado's Scran updates.
Right, so, would you want to know? Because I've been cooking this week, mate.
Oh, I was going to say, what's your go-to drunken Scran?
Oh, that's a good question, by the way.
Everything tastes better when it's... Everything tastes better, doesn't it? Well, here's the deal. I've got this new beer machine in it, right? And just when you drink so many pints of it, everything tastes fucking brilliant. I tell you what, there's a place in Stevenson, the place in Salkett's called the Candy Bar, and there's this homemade coleslaw, and it's pure creamy, and it's amazing, it's a bomb. And last week, after I had a couple of pints, I ordered in a spicy mince quarter pounder with hunters of cheese and with chips, and then see when it came, I fucking turned that coleslaw and filled it all with coleslaw, and it was tremendous. So I'd say something like that. Oh, see, no, I usually go to town with toasties when I'm drunk. Do you ever do that? Like, you start off with a bit of cheese, then there's cold meat, then there's fucking pickle, then there's beetroot, then there's fucking coleslaw and beans and fucking everything. It's disgusting, but it's good at the time, innit?
By the way, I tell you what I used to make, right? You didn't get it from Morrison's anymore, but it was for the deli. Mine Billy Bear called me.
Aye!
Billy Bear toasty.
Is that not
best
just spam?
Thing you'll ever have in your life. Honestly, tremendous. No, they only get it. Don't we date the packets too?
Aye, that's right. I remember that. So what do you mean as a toasted? You don't put any cheese in it?
Aye. So, bit the butter of the bread, cheese, and then bits of Billy Bear right in the middle, right in the George Foreman.
Oh, that sounds good, mate.
Oh, nice.
No, when I'm gassed, though, I've just had that sober. I got, what is it? I get the chicken tikka calzones.
Amazing. Well, there's the, fuck you, that. There's my Amazon guy, 2 minutes.
Right, so while he's away, while Grado's away,
he's coming with a blender.
I'll say cheerio to you. He's getting me a kitchen stuff. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Anytime.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, and stay safe during this global pandemic.
Aye, you as well.
As it continues, right? And hopefully we'll see you on here again.
Aye, 100%.
And no, as a ghost. We don't want you on as a ghost, mate.
No. Poltergeist, I'll be throwing stuff after walls.
No worries, man. Right, catch you later.
See you later, mate.
See you later, man. Bye now. Bye.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You just made the list!
Every week we run down a chart of something wrestling related on a list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. It's a Rumble on Sunday. Best pay-per-view of the year. So this week, the poll was between the best Rumbles and the best surprise entrance, and with 68% of the vote, it was surprise entrance that won. I'm going to do my top three now. I think my number three is going to have to be Edge. Because that was
good.
That was a great one. I genuinely didn't know anything about it. Number two is when Cena came back at Madison Square.
That was brilliant.
And everybody's going to be saying, how's that not the number one? Because that maybe is the best one. But it isn't, because the number one is actually when Mr. Perfect popped up in Royal Rumble. Oh, what one was it?
03.
It was 03, was it?
Aye, it was, you know, like the second guy. It was Goldust came back that year and all, didn't he?
Aye. It's not the fact just that Mr. Perfect appeared as a surprise entrant at Rumble. He was also brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Aye, he had a good run for like 6 months,
yeah,
right?
He was in that match for a good while. He was brilliant in the match, and then he went on a wee run after it. And I remember thinking, as a Mr. Perfect fan, I was like, oh my God, this is fucking brilliant. And no long after
that. Because do you know what I love about things like that, surprises like that? It totally was, for me, as a fan at the time, and I was fucking writing to the dirt sheets and stuff, I don't think there was any talk about that, Mr. Perfect none. Comeback. And it was like it was weird because a wrestling fan would probably think at that time, oh, Mr. Perfect's, he's all the hill, he's 40. Do you know, yeah. That kind of idea. And so you weren't in that frame of mind thinking that if they're going to bring Andy back, it's going to be someday in the last couple of years. Or so. But it was a great move to bring him back.
But it's also the fact he'd been, you know, we'd also known him as just as Kurt Hennig for a while as well. And yep. I was just seeing him coming out and it's saying Mr. Perfect and stuff, aye, you know what I mean? And it was great.
That's why I liked Kevin Nash at the Rumble in 2011. Yeah. And he came back, Diesel! That was brilliant.
That's great,
because,
that's
you know what
cool.
I mean, all the years we'd seen him as Kevin Nash and he came back as Diesel. I loved that, but it's like, what I love about the Diesel one is, like, during the day, there's a guy with mobile phone footage at the airport where the Royal Rumble was. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin Nash had grey hair for about fucking 15 years, right, at this point.
Aye.
And he's pure stunning at the airport. It's pure Just For Men fucking blue hair. The guy's sticking a camera in his face going, yeah, you got to be in the Rumble tonight? He's like, no.
new spray tan or not? New spray tan, dyed hair.
No, I'm just seeing my pals. No, how?
Let's see what the punters say. Matty says, Cena coming back at the Garden. Bubba Ray returning. WWE messing up.
Oh, Bubba Ray returning was fucking
That was
brilliant.
A good one. I forgot about that.
I love that, but what I love about that story was, you know, because he was getting ribbed at that time, right? Because I was a teenager at the time. And it's fucking daft anyway, right? But you remember for years, and he was the fucking big bully Ray, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, dropped all the weight as a slayer. And then I think there was a kind of story going about he wasn't too happy about having to wear the glasses, you know, the Bubba Ray glasses, the white tape on it. You know, he'd been a badass for years, and now he's back to coming out with the glasses, which I ain't taken nothing away from it at all. I thought he fucking needed to wear the glasses. Yep. But it's just funny. Imagine him again going, Danny Willie glasses, man. I don't think he would do that, but folk were rubbing
him
about it.
I thought when that happened, by the way, that he was going to get a big singles push in WWE.
Well, I thought Bully Ray was coming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought that's so. I thought it was like, here he is, he's back here. They know after seeing what he can do.
But what was good about that?
What happened
like,
there? Do you have any idea what happened there? Like,
I'll tell you 2 minutes. But wait, I'll tell you 2 minutes. Fucking... He done his pure camp show routine. Like, see if he get booked in command at Grand Hall. He done what he done in the Rumble. That, you know, get the tables. Get what I mean? Pure G'd the crowd up as if he's at fucking All Star. Come on, tables. Like, he was doing his camp show spot. That's why he was fucking hilarious. But mate, fucking hell, man. I think he was hard to go on with, old Bubbery. He's quite hard to go on with because. The talk always was, Devon's the man. You're working the Dudley Boys, you want to be pairing up with Devon, you're getting absolutely no bother at all. Bubba's a graft.
Right. Shame, because I thought he was... Anyway, Dean says...
Get the tables,
Dean says, Edge coming back last year is up there, had tears in his eyes. Bronze Cello. It was also good just to see Edge back and how good shape he was in, and the fact that he was a guy that had stopped way too early. It was nice to see him back as well, wasn't it? Bronze Cello says 2001 had some shocks. One, it doesn't get talked about enough, is Meng. stroke.
Oh, that was great.
WWF return at the time he was a WCW Hardcore Champion after winning only a week prior.
Did because remember I was born in 88, right? So I kind of, I missed Haku. Like, I only found out really about Haku years later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I fucking remember, because he had the afro and like, the big Ming hair, didn't he? Mm-hmm. There's Ming. There's Ming. Because in WCW, hadn't even out of business at that point either. That was another week and a weird one, wasn't it? That's a weird one. I love, see wee things like that. I love things like that. Remember, did he no team up with Rikishi and he fought Kane and Undertaker at No Way Out? Did he no?
I can't mind. All the thing, I remember just everybody was fear to him, right?
Aye, I mean, that's the story, isn't it? Haku could fucking bite your nose off and would batter any cunt, wouldn't
it? Batter anybody.
Aye.
Mark says AJ Styles for me. Grew up watching TNA and the Wrestling Channel or something. Hadn't discovered websites of post spoils and rumours, so it was a proper mark out for me.
Was that the AJ Styles one?
Aye.
That was brilliant.
But I think I definitely knew he was coming, though, as a thing, you know what I mean?
Well, so he done 5-star wears like the week before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Aye, aye. So and it was like anytime people were at he wouldn't see anything, because that was sure at the time where, remember WWE.com put stuff up like they never said we're signing AJ, but they kind of teased it and went, would you like to see the Bullet Club and AJ Styles and WWE? And that was the whole time where AJ basically said, look, we're leaving. And then the Bullet Club done the same, and then they were so close to signing for TNA. So close. And I think Triple H got wind of it and signed them all.
You know,
like, I remember being rumors, because we just signed with Pop TV and all that, and everybody was going, like, they're coming. The like, Bullet Club's coming, Bullet Club and AJ are coming.
Exciting times.
When I was gutted.
Andy says Snooker, then
New York.
Andy says Snooker, then Piper after him. It was a great return. And of course, Mr. Perfect. The only surprise return, you thought, shit, he might win the Rumble. Was that good? I remember thinking that. I remember thinking when Perfect came in, I says, he could win this. And SM Media says, Edge or John Cena, 2008. Two goosebump moments. Well, any surprises expected for Sunday? Because I know one that's definitely happening.
Oh, I could probably tell you the now.
What?
Rousey.
Exactly.
All right. Ronda
Rousey is going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble.
I was just going to the same shit you see. Oh, damn! You know what I mean? Damn! Every fucking...
I think you'll see Seth Rollins come back in the Rumble.
I'm trying to think who else. Is there anybody else that's kind of a free agent?
Any chance of Cena, you think?
I think Cena. I actually think Cena might come on and win it and then set up Roman Reigns versus Cena for WrestleMania.
But listen.
I'd love that, man.
See the way we're talking? Do you not think we do this every Royal Rumble?
Aye.
I always think we go, oh, he's coming back and all that, and you get to 29 and there's like no surprises. Apart from Edge last year, wasn't there? But
what about Lesnar?
And then eliminating Drew and flipping it around that way.
Drew in the Rumble? He's not in the Rumble.
No, well, he's fighting Goldberg, but I wonder if one of them loses, Goldberg or Drew, they appear in the main Rumble.
But what's all that shite with Miz and all that? Is Miz going to fucking cash in and take whoever? There's something going to happen there, isn't it? And I'm really not interested in the Miz stuff, man. It's fucking...
They might do the Miz trying the cash in, and it turns out a triple threat, so then... whoever he gets the pin or whatever, you know, or he gets pinned, potentially. I don't know.
In the WWE, you know, the guy's going like that. He's going, the commentator, Goldberg's on a winning streak. I'm like, did he not get beat at fucking Mania? Did Braun Strowman not beat him?
Aye.
Or did he win that?
No, Braun Strowman beat him.
Mm.
I mean, Orton's going to be in the Rumble, right?
Aye.
Orton's in the Rumble.
Then the people come back in the Rumble then.
Maybe.
Bet you nobody returns.
Probably.
Bet you nobody does. I feel as if this happens.
I would love to see Orton and Edge as the last two left in the ring before the number 30 comes out. And I would love to see the two of them there and you're thinking, well, this is it fucking set up for. And then Lesnar to come out as number 30 and eliminate the two of them. I would love that. I would like to see Lesnar win the Rumble. I would like to see Lesnar, but I know everybody's like, I hope fucking Lesnar doesn't win it. I hope Lesnar wins it. I want to see Lesnar back. Or Cena. If Cena comes back, I want Cena to win it.
Yeah.
The only person I don't want to win it is The Fiend.
I'd like to see Cena versus Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah. What about Big E winning it?
I'd like to see Roman Reigns and Goldberg because I get cancelled on it. I fucking love watching Goldberg. I don't care.
That didn't happen, but I would like to see.
Does Edge win it? Does Edge win it? Does Edge win it, and then it goes up against Reigns at WrestleMania, Spear versus Spear.
Could be. This is what I love. I love this.
It's good, innit?
I love this. This is because it's wide open. You know what I mean? Styles is always in the hunt. Daniel Bryan's always in the hunt as well. Who else?
The odds up. Let's see what the odds are on the Rumble.
Who else?
We've got Talk Down the Marks podcast because they didn't want to ruin it. So here, let's see. Here's Paddy Power's got the...
Oh, I don't want to hear either, actually.
Do you want to hear... I've got the odds up. Does anybody want to hear the odds?
Give me just the top three favourites.
Right, for the women's, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss and Rhea Ripley are the three favourites.
Right.
Outside, there's a lot outsides. Oh, shut up, Alexa. Where's the men's rumble? I've got the women's. Where's the men's rumble? Odds.
You know what would be the worst thing to happen? I'll tell you the worst thing to happen. Alexa Bliss winning the women's battle Royal Rumble and The Fiend winning the men's.
Would they do that to wind you up, huh?
That would be the worst thing that could happen. Woo! So you can get some Wrestling Daft merch. We have brand new designs, by the way, including the Marcus here with a picture of the Wrestling Daft belt. Wrestling's kid on. Good one. And the immortal quote for the immortal Hulk Hogan. Still don't have a cease and desist on this. Good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life that don't know it's a work and work yourself into a shoot marks. Get that on a t-shirt. We have hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags, aprons even for when you're making your apple pies. At shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You'll get all our old designs there as well. So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft new, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Hey, imagine you were a wrestler on the way back for a show and you wanted to pop the boys. What's the one story you could tell that would put you? Well, me and Gredo are jumping in our motor and we're going to tell your stories. So let's get this car started.
Right, Rob. Sweating.
I was a bit worried about that match I had with D'Lo Brown tonight, but he can still go a bit. He can go a fair bit.
He's dangerous, you know. He's we'll watch.
Just get driving.
Right,
I put a window down a wee bit because you've hit a beamer after saying that. But D'Lo, the bit we cut out. It's been cut out, but you've still hit a beamer.
Alright,
so
okay.
Your window down. Any stories, mate? Any stories?
Well, Rob, let me tell you about 5 years ago. Just finished up uni playing bass. And I sang in an indie band in Glasgow. Have I told you about that before?
No, I didn't know you were a chanter, mate. Huh?
Well, we had some wee gigs. We played at a box. It was just kind of fun, but if I'm being honest, we were pish, right? My drummer, we'll call him Chris, right? Just because I don't want you to find out who he is. He was pretty enterprising and managed to convince a promoter to put his own the opening band. And it was a band for America, the King Tut, so that's a kind of big deal for us. Right? Yeah. So the band were more kind of YouTube famous and actual famous, and they kind of got popular during the kind of See, right, this is fucking a lot of shite. The band were, they were kind of more YouTube famous than actual famous. They done like pop punk covers, you know what I mean? Like a kind of big teenage following. And obviously we had the musical integrity, you know, to sing to the lows of day novelty covers just to get the attention of wee lasses, you know what I mean? But we weren't going to pass up an opportunity to play with this American band, you and me. So next week at the band practice, we learned The Middle by Jimmy Eat World and Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. So the wee lassies thought would be cool. A week before the show, we were getting hyped about our future lives as the next Biffy Clyro. But this took a blow after the headlining band we were supposed to be opening for posted a YouTube video with their cover, A Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. And this was actually quite good. So I'm getting heavy stressed that if we both played that song, it would be like some jabroni trying to pull off a convincing spear on a show with Gredelberg is at the top of the curb.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man.
In the end, we decided just to play the song because we didn't have time to learn another one and to run away like cowards if the headliners wanted to play it too. Do you know what I mean? We'd run away.
Aye. So we get to the show.
So we get to the show and we get some male notes to our confidence because our guitarist was wearing one of the manager beanie hats that were in the style at the time. So we get to the show, right, and we had some male notes to our confidence. Fucking, our guitarist was wearing one of the manager beanie hats that were in style at the time, kind of as we loaded in. And I overheard the promoter say to the sound guy, see him? What's even the point of fucking wearing a hat at all? Fucking devastated. Also, Rabble, we're 2 feet to get into the cramped backstage bit at King Tut's with a boy band, just in case we get slagged for being VLs or something. So instead, we were hanging about the front of the stage before the show, but it turned out that the headliners were selling VIP meet and greet tickets for 50 quid a go. So it's full of wee tweens, and we looked like fucking dads. Also meant that we had to rush our sound check in front of about 50 folk. Big dogged again. So, Rab, the venue filled up to about 200 folk, which was crowded in touch.
So good, good crowd, aye?
Good crowd there. First song, we go up, and I go up and do this kind of high kick thing when the big riff hits, and I nearly decked it backwards into the headliner's drum kit. Botcha mania. We powered through, and either we nailed our shit, or a crowd of mostly 14-year-olds aren't the best at judging a musical performance, Robert, you know?
Aye.
We even go to the big pop for our 2 song covers. Fuck integrity, you know what I mean?
Aye.
After our set, we had folk coming up, trying to buy our CD. Some of them were actually even wanting to get it signed and getting photos with us.
Oh, that's real, man.
I am thinking, this is that. This is that.
Oh, you made it. We've made it.
We've got to get somebody like Philip Green on the phone. I'm quitting my 4-hour contract at Burton's Wensware. The headlining band, they were even talking about it, saying how good they were. The headlining band ended up not even playing that Taylor song. So they must not have been bothered about it. Either that, or they didn't say shit, because we're hard men. I went home to my bed thinking about how we could do a UK tour in our drummer's Ford Focus. I'm not reading this little story. I don't know, I'm doing it shite.
No, it's fine, it's fine.
It's fine. So next day, we're on the band's Facebook group, we're getting all these new likes, we're getting followers on Twitter, we're pure blowing up. Folk are tagging us in photos of goatees and photos as we're playing. I now sadly regret those a bit because of my ill-informed goatee that I was experimenting with at the time. Still genuinely feel proud of how one girl sent a message asking for the chords to one of the songs that I'd written. So she could learn it and put a cover up of it online.
Oh, that's nice,
man. We're already getting tribute acts.
Oh, that's nice, man.
Sadly, things took a turn. It transpired that well, drummer Chris was emerging as the sex symbol of the band. He was getting the majority of the new female followers and messages.
That's the one with the wee hat?
That's the one with the beanie hat. And I'd have thought that this might reflect poorly on me and the other singer and guitarist, since the front man, that's the one that's meant to get the bird spit for our pride, I'll blame it on my pedo beard and his wee tiny hat. Now the band account gets a message for this 14, 15 year old lassie along the lines of, please follow me back, I love you. So I went on Twitter and I scrolled down to the previous night and her first tweet was, oh my god, hot drummer just walked right past me. So I'm just freaking out. We're not getting a UK tour, we're going to get to jail. Especially me on account of the goatee. I'm picturing headlines, sinister soft boys lure teen with Taylor Swift. So sinister soft boys lure teens with Taylor. At this point she starts sending messages to Chris directly and I'm thinking she's making a move. We hit the panic button and Chris just blocks him. Not long after that, the band gets tagged in a tweet by another tween girl. Alright, she's made a t-shirt design for the band, that's cool. Front side has her band name and logo thing on it. Backside, all caps, Chris, stop banging your drums and come and bang me, lol. They literally signed pedo merch for our band. We're done for. Anyway, that ended up being the last ever show since me and the guitarist moved away for unrelated reasons the following year.
For unrelated reasons, that sounds a total bullish move. Yeah, that's quite a story, Grado.
Don't be repeating that, Rab.
I won't be repeating that, don't worry, it's too fucking long. Who was that story, Faye?
This was Faye, will it say? I don't know, it doesn't say, does it?
I don't, let me just check if he's allowed us to say the name.
All right, let's not say...
Just a bit of advice here, right?
Wait, hold on a minute here, right? I don't understand this story, really, because it's kind of like a story where nothing happened, because you kind of control what. First of all, he's saying tweens all the time, right?
Now, I never done it any justice, right? But it's fucking too long, man. I've not got time.
Tweens, it's teens he was talking about. He was talking about teens. Tweens only teens. Tweens are between being a kid and a teenager, right? Is it?
I thought tweens was maybe twins that are teenagers, no?
No, this is what he's wrote is rang here. A tween is a child between the ages of 9 and 12. So I don't know what he's saying fucking tween for one hang, right? So that sounds a bit dodgy.
Please be aware that this is not my story. This is off of the angle here. This is
no. This is a listener story. And then also, like, why is he going looking on his wee lassie's accounts and all that anyway? It's like, it sounds fucking dodgy and then all that stuff. Oh, and me with my pedo beard, that nobody said his beard was like a pedo's beard. He's just kind of flung that in there. And young teenage lassies are just going to be fans of a band and say stuff like that anyway. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong unless you've got something to hide, unless you're trying to cover fucking tracks. So, I mean, what is this? Is that a confession? What's the name of this person, John?
Well, thanks very much for Alan.
And John, also, why are you getting Gradle to read out that filth?
Pedophilia?
You need to be screening these. You need to be screening these and making sure that no weirdos send us stories. Oh. That's a fucking weirdo who sent us that.
I wanted to give Alan his moment in the sun because...
Alan?
Alan?
You can say
the
name.
Will be in the fucking sun like, come the weekend?
Dad's army. It's like, don't tell him, Pike. That's what that bit was like, yeah. Listen, don't be fucking giving us these weirdos stories. What we want is funny stories for normal people. We don't want kind of weird long stories for weirdos. We don't want them.
Thanks for listening, Alan. He discovered the show less than a month ago and he's binged his way right up to this episode. So thanks for listening.
Disgraceful. Aye. There you go. Good story, though. Good story, though. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on
Apple. Sure note to the end of the show.
Or get us on wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content for the video version of this show, get on board patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. You get lots of extra wee bits and pieces there. And why not check out our merch, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft.
Can I plug the pay-per-view party for the Rumble? Oh. We're going to do a pay-per-view party for the Rumble Monday night, 7 o'clock. I'll be knackered, but I'll
Monday
do it.
Monday night at 7 o'clock?
Monday, I'm going to try and get through the whole day without spoilers. So, no spoilers on the WhatsApp or anything like that.
Mate, I'll be messaging you spoilers all day.
Don't. So, if you are all up for it, all the listeners, get onto the Patreon. We're going to have a pay-per-view party. Feel free to jump in, boys. Feel free to do a run in it.
I've seen it the night before.
You watching it the night before? Right, okay.
Oh, he's not doing it live?
No, because I'm on the break, doing the breakfast show and all that stuff, so I can't even do it live. But yes, 7 o'clock, pay-per-view party on the Patreon, get involved.
Beautiful, no worries. Thanks everybody so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Gradle.
That story
was weird. I had no idea, Gradle, that you had all these wee hangs with teenage lassies going on.
It was Alan.
Oh, was it all right? Sorry, this can be confusing because sometimes when people just cut out the bits and put them on the internet, it sounds like it's you that's saying this stuff.
I mean,
up the road, Gradle.
I'm scared now. All right, see you later.
Audio Frontier.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.